This recording, New York 9, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Karma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinarian nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory, so she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer to her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of hoof and mouth disease, which was surprising, because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling Karma, which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Karma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her. But Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her effort was not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold onto Karma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. "I can't imagine paying so much," but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. I was born a long time ago, and we as kids did not have what the kids have today. We had no video recorders. We had certainly no computers, certainly no PlayStations, Ataris, or anything like that. We didn't even have remote control cars or robots. So most of our days were spent on the streets. And on the streets, we had to make up a variety of different games to play. Some games included just what you people call in Chicago is a pink ball, we in New York call it a spalding, which was a simple game of punch ball. Other games required that same ball, but of two various size of sticks. One game, you would only need 2 or 3 people, a pitcher and a catcher, against another team of the same size, and you would pitch fast to the batter, and he would try to obviously hit it, and the different distances meant whether it was a single, double, triple. Other forms of stickball where you played actually on the street, where you would have the length of a single, double, or triple would be measured by the various sewers that were on the street. A third form of stickball was called off the wall. In that game, you would throw the pink ball, as you call it here, or spalding, off the wall, and the batter had to hit it either on the fly off the wall or on one bounce. That takes care of basic stickball games. Then we go on to what we would call a nice little game of football. But there again, we had to play on the street. So a typical play would be tell someone to go down, and I get behind the yellow Chevy, and you throw the ball to him that way, the football that way. It was not a game where we had any width because the streets were narrow, and we used the cars as blockers. So that was a game. Now, if you had absolutely no equipment with you, you could play a game called Johnny on a Pony. This game gets a little rough. You would have one team where one person would stand flat up against the wall, and the various other members of this team would crouch down in front of him. The opposite team would run and jump on that team that is bent over and try to break them apart. Now, you could jump any way you like. You could land with your knees, your elbows, and anything. The team that is crouching had to hold the other entire team on for approximately 10 seconds. So that was a game like that. Now, getting back to the Spalding type of game, if you only had a Spalding and no stick, you could play various games. You could play stoopball, which you would stand in front of a set of stairs in front of a building, and you would throw the ball against the stoop. And again, depending on how far that ball went, again, would depend on if you got a single, double, triple run. Another game would be curveball. There you would play at an intersection, where each corner of the intersection, one would be home plate, first place, second base, and third base. And you would play that game as such.